Your grace is enough for me.
Verse 1.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with a sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters and to mercy.
Your grace. You clap your hands to the Lord. He's worthy of praise. Lord, we thank you. We honor you. We worship you. Thank you for your amazing grace, God. Save the wretch like me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While you're standing, if you would grab your Bibles and do not often speak at both sessions back to back. I promise you I'm not being stingy with the pulpit. Brother Al was scheduled to teach this morning, but fell ill, was not able to be here this morning. We need to pray for him that God would give him a healing touch. And the lesson he had to teach will be taught at another time by him. And we are going to continue in our study, Heroes in Whom We Can Believe. Skip ahead a lesson or two, and we're going to be talking about Barnabas, the son of consolation. Barnabas is one of my most favorite characters, if you will, and I don't mean character by the sense of fictional. We understand that he was truly somebody that lived, was there in the beginning of the early church, but I love the story of Barnabas because I believe that he is one of those, while mentioned sparsely in Scripture, he is one who had just a traumatic effect, just a tremendous effect, I should say, on the New Testament church. And so I want us to look at his life this morning in our lesson. He is a hero in whom we can believe. He is someone who we should pattern our lives after, how we should see in his story and the scriptures that talk about him, how he truly was, as his name indicates, a son of consolation. Psalms chapter number 37, verse number 23, one verse of scripture, which is our focus verse this morning, says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Acts chapter 4 gives a first glimpse into the life of Barnabas, verse 36 and 37. "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Go down to chapter number 9, Acts, verses 26 and 27. "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple." In other words, all of the disciples rejected Saul, who later became, as many of us know, the Apostle Paul, or the New Testament, or the greatest writer of the New Testament, as we understand. But Barnabas, verse 27, "took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." It was Barnabas, if you will, who, when the other disciples rejected Saul, Barnabas stepped in and said, "Wait a second, boys. Don't be so quick to reject. Let me tell you a little bit about my brother Saul." And he began to tell them what took place, and as a result, the disciples did take in, they did believe, according to the word of Barnabas, that the apostle Paul, who he came to be, was and had the conversion that he said. And in Acts chapter number 11, a couple of verses of scripture there that I allow you to be seated. Verses 22 through 26. "Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church was at Jerusalem. They sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came in and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Barnabas sought out Saul. He brought him there to Antioch, and they ministered there for a year. And as a result of their ministry, that of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, the Bible says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your word, which challenges us. God, which stirs our heart and our mind. God, who once again reminds us what it means, God, to follow your will and your way for our lives. Lord, I pray that we would learn from the story of Barnabas, God, that we would see in his life things that we would seek to emulate in our own, God, to be sons and daughters of consolation, to reach towards other people, God, to do what we can, God, to increase and grow this kingdom, God, that we are so proud to be a part of. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The church is in need of good people who, through their acts of kindness and devotion, make our world a better place. There's a great need for believers today who will give themselves to the ministry of edification, who will do their part to be brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of consolation. In other words, we need fellow Christians who endeavor to bring comfort, consolation, and encouragement to others who are broken, hurting, and suffering because of life's many problems. People who are hurting need someone who will listen, someone who will care. And only after they have received such measures of comfort and consolation can they really begin to heal spiritually. It is no mystery. We understand that there are so many people in our world that are trying so many different things, trying to find consolation, trying to find comfort and peace in this world. And the things they turn to and the things they desire to find comfort and peace and consolation, it ends up being something that leaves them unfulfilled. unsatisfied. So we as believers, we as Christians need to turn to the scripture and understand in the lives of individuals like Barnabas, we ourselves can pattern our lives after such men, and in doing so, be individuals of comfort and consolation. We can learn from his story. We can understand that all of us from time to time need encouragement and consolation. All of us. I don't care how long or how short you've been serving God, you and I, we all need comfort. We all need encouragement. We all need consolation. We need brothers and sisters who recognize our need, and we need to recognize the need for brothers and sisters. Sometimes there is no one around us, if you will, in our situation who understands what we're going through. And then those times there's individuals, or shall I say, we have example of David who encouraged himself in the Lord. And there's sometimes where we just have to encourage ourselves. We have to just believe and understand that what we're doing is right. We have to find the faith and encouragement to keep on keeping on, even when others don't understand what we're going through, or maybe they don't see that we need comfort and consolation, and we've got to find our consolation in God. The Bible lets us know in Judges 20:22 that the men of Israel encouraged themselves and set their battle in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. In other words, even in the midst of the battle, the men of Israel had to encourage themselves. They had to get up for it, if you will. And there's sometimes where we have to do that in our own walk and relation. As we war against the enemy, there's sometimes we got to get ourselves up for it. We've got to recognize that today is another day, and I can't sit on the sideline. I've got to get up for the game. I've got to be involved. Encouragement can also come from God's word. Passage such in Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The word of God is a powerful source of consolation and encouragement. But there is also a ministry of consolation and encouragement. There is also, and I believe that it is a ministry that we all should have a part in. We all should understand its relevance and its importance in the things of God and in the kingdom of God. Maybe I don't feel the comfort of getting up behind a pulpit and publicly speaking, or maybe I'm not an extrovert in the sense of going door to door, but what I can do is I can find ways that God can use me in the ministry of encouragement and consolation. Every single one of us. It doesn't take an extrovert. It doesn't take an assertive personality to be someone who reaches out to encourage others. Someone who takes it upon themselves to be a voice of consolation in the heart and mind of someone else. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13, exhort one another daily while it is called today. Right now, today. We have an opportunity to be encouragement to someone else. Right now, there is someone in this house who needs someone else to be a minister of encouragement and consolation. Every time we get together, we need to understand that there are individuals who are going through situations and circumstances, and we need to be a Barnabas. We need to be someone who would console others, because I guarantee you there will come times in our lives when we will need and we will look for consolation from someone else. When we will want the ministry of reconciliation and consolation and encouragement to be administered unto us. And so we should in like manner do unto others. First mention of Barnabas is found, and we read it earlier in Acts chapter 4 verses 36 through 37, where he exhibited a spirit of consecration. Barnabas, seeing the need for the things of God to go forth, wanting to be a part of the kingdom of God increasing. The Bible says, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. We need to understand something about Cyprus. Cyprus was not a junkyard. Cyprus was not an undesirable area. Cyprus was a place for the affluent and the wealthy. Cyprus during that time was a large and fertile island off the coast of Syria. In ancient times, Cyprus was famous for its different commodities of wine and wheat and oil and figs and honey. Possession of land in Cyprus indicated great wealth and affluence. Barnabas didn't just bring backwoods, little piece of property, and say, hey, I'm going to give this. I'm going to sell it and donate it. That would have been wonderful, and there's nothing against that. I'm not demeaning that. But what Barnabas did is he took a precious piece of land. He took something of great value and great worth. And in doing so, he sold it. And the Bible said he came and laid at the apostles' feet. He didn't tell them, okay, this is how you need to use the money. He didn't say, hey, fellas, you need to understand that I sold a great prime piece of property for you guys to have this. And so be careful how you use it. Nope. The Bible says he just having land, went and sold it, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. I thought about this. I thought about it as you read through the life of Barnabas and the many areas that he traveled, and he was on missionary journeys with the apostle Paul, and I thought to myself, wow, oh, the places you'll go when you refuse to let something keep you in a certain place. Think about that. If Barnabas hadn't sold, there was nothing that required him to do so. But had Barnabas not sold the land, had he not been consecrated enough to the things of God and the kingdom of God, maybe had he not alleviated himself of that attachment to that land, maybe that attachment to that land would have kept him from going to all the places that God would have had him to go. But because Barnabas was willing to separate himself from something that had the potential of keeping him out of the perfect will of God, Barnabas took the land and he sold it. And as a result, you find out that Barnabas is traveling all over and he is ministering with the Apostle Paul and he's establishing churches and he's mentoring other young men and he's doing great things as a result of his consecration. This may be why the apostles, the Bible says, changed his original name, Joseph, to Barnabas, which is translated son of consolation or son of exhortation. The changing of his name indicates something of his character. That is, his temperament was that of a helper, of a friend to someone in need, someone who looked on and thought about the needs of others more than his own. Make no mistake, it was a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice for him to go and take that land and sell it and lay the money at the apostles' feet. It was a great sacrifice. But to him, he saw what could be done for the kingdom and for other people as paramount to his own wants and his own desires and his own possessions. Wow. True consecration extends itself into all areas of life. Barnabas' consecration affected his view concerning material wealth. His earthly goods meant nothing in view of the work of God, the work of God, and the kingdom of God. Barnabas, maybe he knew, maybe he had some foresight to understand, as I mentioned earlier, that the ownership of that property would be a hindrance to him in fulfilling God's will. And so instead of keeping it as a possible attachment, he decided, I'm selling it. I'm going to take the money and I'm going to lay it at the apostles' feet so it can be used for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. As a result, if his consecration was destined to take him into regions he had never been before, he traveled with the Apostle Paul. When the church at Jerusalem heard about the revival at Antioch, they sent Barnabas, the Bible says. They heard about what was happening as a result of Barnabas and Paul in Antioch. The Bible says they sent. We find it. Who, when he came in, Acts chapter 11, 23 and 24, and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. I can't help wonder, maybe it was because Barnabas was willing to sacrifice and subtract some things from his life that the Lord added unto the church through Barnabas. Maybe because Barnabas was willing to show his consecration and to show that he was all about cleaving unto the Lord, all about the work of God. And so he took the land and he sold it. And maybe because he was willing to subtract from his own life, God used it as a way to add unto his kingdom. See, we need to understand that as in the life of Barnabas, faith is a prerequisite in the ministry of exhortation, because sometimes encouragement and consolation are administered in the midst of discouragement and hardship. We don't know. Maybe the apostles were questioning themselves, how are we going to do this? How are we going to effectively reach these people? All these people are being added into the church, and how are we going to be able to minister there? Where are the finances going to come from? And maybe they started to wonder, how is this going to work out? And then all of a sudden, here comes Barnabas, and he's got this money from this land that he sold. And he said, here, fellas, God just moved upon me, and I knew I needed to sell the land. And here, distribute as you need to. Here's some money. And even in the selling of the land and bringing the money to the apostles' feet, it offered some consolation and encouragement to them that God was going to provide, that God was going to make it possible. We should also take note of Barnabas' ministry at places like Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. For in these places, the records reveal the characteristics that marked his life. It says, Acts 14:22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that they must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. He was a consolation and understanding. Fellas, it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to cleave unto the Lord. You're going to have to make some sacrifices. You're going to have to do stuff that goes against your own grain, if you will. You're going to have to be willing to sacrifice and subtract from your life so that God can add unto the kingdom. And you're going to do it in the midst of tribulation. You're going to do it in the midst of trouble. But you need to understand. And he stood as a living example of such. He stood even in himself and his own attributes and his own actions. They could look at Barnabas for consolation and say, hey, he did it. He subtracted from his life. He saw the kingdom of God more important than his own affluence and wealth. He looked unto the needs of others more than his own. So maybe I can as well. Barnabas' message to the young converts encouraged and strengthened them in a time when they were experiencing trials and tribulations. It is important that we offer our assistance to our fellow brothers and sisters when they are beset with troubles. It's important that they can look at my life as an example and say, well, brother so-and-so made it. Brother so-and-so was willing to subtract from his life. Sister so-and-so was willing to give of herself. And I see how God has increased her. And I see how God has added unto her life as a result. And I can be just an example of what I do. And the life that I live, I can be an example to someone else that gives them consolation and encouragement. When someone's going through a hard time, when someone's experiencing trouble, I can offer a word of exhortation and a life of an example of consolation in their lives. This type of person seems always be able to see light in the darkest hour. Hope in almost hopeless situations. That type of person like Barnabas, son or daughter of consolation, who even when the trials abound and even when situations and circumstances surround the life, they can still encourage. They can still strengthen one another. They can still always see the silver lining no matter how dark the cloud. And say, hey, keep on, brother. Keep on, sister. We've all had hard times. We've all had troubles. We've all struggled through some things. But you need to understand that on the other side, God's adding unto your life. Right now, it may feel like things are being taken away and things are being subtracted and you're going through situations and circumstances. But you need to understand that God is here and God will add unto your life. Barnabas was a man of kindness, fearful that his profession of Christianity was merely a ruse, a camouflage for his campaign to annihilate the Christians. The apostles refused to accept Paul as a true believer. They thought maybe this man who had taken men and women and led them to Jerusalem captive, who looked for those who had been preaching in the name of Jesus and had letters from the chief priests and elders to take them to Jerusalem and to held them captive. And now this man is coming before the apostles and saying, I've been converted, I've seen the light, God has changed me. And they at first didn't believe it. They didn't accept that this Saul of Tarsus had had a conversion. They didn't accept that this man who they knew only as a persecutor of the church would now be an ally, would now come alongside them and be a true believer with them. And at first, we don't accept it. We don't believe that he has been converted. But Barnabas took him. Now think about this. You want to think about possibly a very discouraging time for the Apostle Paul? That time, Saul of Tarsus, he's had this great experience on the road of Damascus. He's been knocked off his donkey. He's had the conversion. Ananias has come and prayed for him, and the blindness scales fell from his eyes, and now he sees, and now he's preaching the name of Jesus with passion, and he's going in all these places, and he's trying to make converts out of people, if you will, and he comes before the apostles, and they reject him. We don't believe that you're We think you're doing this as a ruse. We think you're just you're trying to get in the inner workings. This is a spy operation, if you will. And they didn't believe that he was true. They didn't believe that he had truly had a conversion. And I wonder, the Bible doesn't say, but I wonder what that was like for Paul to be rejected. I wonder if now he felt like he had no home. Certainly he couldn't go back to being a Pharisee. He was now a preacher of, he is now by the way, which many of them called heresy. Now he preaches in the way. Now he's proclaiming this Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who he despised and who he ridiculed and who he took other people captive for preaching. And who does he have? But Barnabas took him. Oh, I don't think we could overestimate the effect that Barnabas had. Think about it. Think about it. The greatest, if not the greatest apostle, Barnabas took him. Barnabas said, hey, Paul, at that time, Saul, hold on. Don't stay discouraged. Let me see if I can intervene in this situation. The Bible says he took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and how he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Hey, fellas, don't be so quick to count him out. Hey, let me be a son of consolation. You've surnamed me this, but now let me be this. Don't let it just be a name attached to my life. Let me live it. Let me be a true son of consolation. Hey, fellas, don't be so quick to reject Saul. I've seen him. I've heard him. He's the real deal. He's truly been converted. His testimony is true. It has happened to him. Please don't reject him. Would have happened to Paul, the new convert, had it not been for the ministry and encouragement of Barnabas, the son of consolation. Think about it. By identifying himself with this unwanted convert, Barnabas shared his own unblemished reputation. He put his own reputation at stake. He was willing to stand up for the Apostle Paul. He was willing to stand up and say, hey, fellas, if you don't believe him and his word, would you at least believe me? Do I have enough of a reputation among you that you would believe me and my word? Do you realize that Barnabas was willing to put his own reputation at stake? He was willing to stand up in front of the other apostles and say, wait a second, fellas, let my reputation stand in. Let me be a son of consolation right now and tell you that this man is not someone you should reject. How do we apply this in our own life? How do we understand and see that this is something that we should seek to emulate and have in our lives? You see, new converts do not automatically become a part of the social and organizational aspects of the church. We must willingly offer our assistance to them. Or do I realize that sometimes the way that the church accepts people. I know we should just accept everybody with open arms. No matter what they've been through, no matter what their past is, we should be that way, but we're not. What
better opportunity and chance do we have of assimilating people into the congregation, into the church, than us, than those good standing, reputable members of the church to wrap an arm around someone else and say, hey, I know he doesn't look all the part yet, and I know she has some baggage, and I know there's some past here, and I know you may speculate as to whether this individual can be someone who is conducive and an asset to this church, but let my reputation stand. Let my arm go around them. Let me help assimilate them into the congregation, what it would be like if we started mentoring, if we started being Barnabas to other people and did our best when they walk in to attach our lives to their life and be those that stood in and say, hey, let's get them involved. Let's get them a part. Let's encourage them and strengthen them so that they do become more intertwined and more connected to the congregation, to the people. They need encouragement. They need care. They need strengthening. This is a ministry that each and every one of us needs to understand is absolutely essential and vital in the church. We must know it is just as important to keep people in the church as it is to get them in the church. I'm going to say that again. We need to understand it is just as important to keep people in the church as it is to get them in the church. I'm glad when they walk through the doors. I'm glad when they come to things. I'm glad when we see them again and again. But I want to see them every service. But I want to not just at special times and not just at special events and not just we have community involvement. I want to see them. And so maybe I'm the one that can be the son or daughter of consolation and reach out and extend my right hand of fellowship and say, hey, come on, be a part. To make them feel welcome. Spirit-filled Christians, we must be sensitive to the need of showing kindness and consideration to every new convert, regardless of his or her past life. We, in our humanity, we can understand the residents. We can understand why. We can understand, and maybe with our own mind can look at the situation and say, I could see why the apostles would at first reject Paul. Makes sense. You know, they're protecting the flock. You know, there's other sheep they got to be careful of. They if they let him in the inner circle and he knows the inner workings, what if he is a spy? What if this all is just a ruse? What if he's not really concerned about being a convert? He's just trying to find out who's preaching this Jesus stuff. On the surface, we might can see and understand why they did what they did, but oh, to be more like Barnabas. Oh, to be sensitive enough to say, hey, he's the real deal. I know his past would indicate otherwise. I know that in the light of everything that's happened, he may seem like he's bringing a lot of baggage to the situation, but you need to understand. How is it that Barnabas could see in the at that time Saul of Tarsus what the others could not? And had it not been for Barnabas, It grieves my heart to think about the soul winners that we didn't assimilate into this congregation. What are you saying, Pastor? Those that we were sons and daughters and brothers and sisters of consolation and brought them in and wrapped our arms around them and loved them and encouraged them and strengthened them. And even when they fell, we helped them get back up. How many of them decided to throw in the towel and go their separate ways? But if we had truly been sons and daughters of consolation and extended our right hand as we should, how many of them would be wonderful soul winners right now? It's a sobering thought. What a team. What a team, Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas brings him in, if you will. And as a result, they, throughout their missionary journey, establish works, minister for a year in the church at Antioch. And as a result, the Bible says they were called first Christians at Antioch. Maybe it is that the word Christian should be synonymous with consolation. Maybe it should be that if I truly identify as a Christian, and I should also identify as a son or daughter of consolation, as someone who seeks to encourage. Maybe the true definition or identity of a Christian is someone of comfort, encouragement, and consolation. To bring others alongside, that together we can increase the work of God. I'm closing. Several times he proved that his description was correct, that he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith. You can stand, that's all right. As found in Acts 11, 24. Several times he did prove this description was correct. When he sold his property at Cyprus and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. When he brought Paul into the company of the disciples and caused them to believe in him when they would have rejected him. When he went to Tarsus to seek for Paul to help in growing the church at Antioch. When he traveled as Paul's companion in their missionary journeys. This Barnabas, son of consolation, maybe, just maybe, one of the most influential men in all of the New Testament, who reached and extended his right hand of fellowship to the great apostle Paul, who was there believing in him and encouraging him and strengthening him. He was there with him in missionary journeys. Even later on in the life of the Apostle Paul, when he himself rejected John Mark. Look at it. You can read it. It's in Acts. Who was it that stepped in and said, okay, Paul, I'll take him. And who that man was? Barnabas. Barnabas. You see, he did something. Yeah, think about it. I kind of shake my head as why the Apostle Paul, kind of known to be very opinionated and don't know what it was about John Mark that he rejected taking him on the missionary journey, but Barnabas, the son of consolation, said, okay, Paul, I don't agree with your decision on this. You can take Silas. You guys will go that way, and I'll take John Mark, and we'll go this way. And Barnabas, the son of consolation, reached for another one. Lord Jesus, we love you. Help us, God. Lord, I look back with utmost sincerity and wonder how many soul winners we have let slip through our fingers. How many of those that would still be here today serving you, bringing others alongside. How many, God, how could I make someone else a son or daughter of consolation unless I myself am one? Unless I'm willing to subtract from my own life, and I'm willing to take the example of Barnabas. And say, Lord, your kingdom and the furtherance of your kingdom means much more to me than my own achievement. Lord, for your kingdom to grow, for your kingdom to increase, is much more important to me than my own. So let me extend my arm, my hand of fellowship, my love, my encouragement, my consolation to someone else. Oh, don't let me see their past, God. Let me see their future. Don't let me see the baggage they bring to the table, Lord. Let me see the potential that lies within them. Let me be a Barnabas, God. Let me be a son or daughter of consolation. No matter where they've been, no matter what they've been through, God. Lord, some of the greatest soul winners in all the world are now, as the Apostle Paul did, fighting vehemently against you. Let me be a Barnabas. Let me be a son or daughter of consolation. That would seek their conversion to see them assimilated into your kingdom. To be great soul winners for your cause.
Yes.
Our classes are going to be returning momentarily. These altars are open for prayer. Lord, help me be a son or daughter of consolation. An encourager, an exhorter, one who looks to others. In their darkest times, Lord, let me shine the brightest.
Take my hands, Lord. Take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through me.
Barnabas is a hero.
If you can use any.
not because he was wealthy or affluent, but because he was a son of consolation.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Maybe I'll never get up in front of people and preach. Maybe I'll never teach the class. Lord, but I can personally disciple someone. I can personally wrap my arm around someone and bring them along to encourage them to be a son or daughter of consolation. Maybe God will use me to bring the next Apostle Paul. Maybe God will use me to minister to the next John Mark.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me.
If you feel led of the Lord, why don't you extend your hand to someone else? Why don't you lay your hand upon the shoulder of someone and pray for them? Let me start today, God.
If you can use anything, Lord,
to exhort one another while it is today.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
I give myself to you.
Can use me. I give myself away.